Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io.
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining us for yet another episode of the Startup Hustle podcast. So today, our episode of Startup Hustle is sponsored by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. I'm Lauren Conaway, founder and CEO of Innovate Her KC and one of your co-hosts for the Startup Hustle podcast. And I have to tell you, we have a fun, sexy time episode planned for you today. I am so psyched for it. So I have met this guest a few times and have just been so intrigued, just very eager to talk to SX Noir. And SX is president of Women of Sex Tech. So we're going to be talking about a lot of really fun and interesting and really important topics today. But SX, thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah, you know, I'm absolutely happy to be here. It's a sexy conversation. If you think it's not super sexy actually, but it's real and important and about sex. So I guess sex makes it sexy sometimes.
I think so. We are going to delve into, as you said, some important topics. We're gonna explore the serious side of sex. But that being said, I think we're in for a titillating 40-ish minutes here. So thank you so much for being here. And I'm going to hop right into it. And the first thing that I'm going to ask is that general question, but SX, why don't you tell us about yourself? I want to hear about you.
Totally. So my name is SX Noir, pronouns she and her. I am actually from Kansas City, Missouri, which is interesting because that's where Lauren and I met. And I've been in New York for a while, and I just work in the sex tech industry. So my work specializes in the intersection of sex work and sex technology. I've been an activist, an organizer, a host, many things, the Jill of all trades, they say. And I just am very happy to be here talking to you all today. I think this is definitely a different audience than who I'm normally used to talking to. So I'm looking forward to just kind of connecting some dots about how the sex tech industry is truly expansive in the next untapped $1 trillion tech market. And so, you know, to give context into why I got into the work that I do and like all the things, you know, because the first question I typically get is, what is sex tech? You know, and I think sex tech is the the use of technology to enhance the human experience of sex. So that is pretty damn expansive because it means several things. So when we talk about sex tech, we have three different kind of categories that we put it into. One of the ones that's really growing and big right now is the health and wellness sector. So this is sexual wellness, sexual health. So this has everything to do with, for example, our reproductive health. And this also has to do with telehealth and also just kind of the wellness that's really growing. We are now seeing a surge of people navigating wellness as far as like going to fitness and yoga and taking time for yourself to eat healthy. They're also including their sex life and sexuality into that, which is a whole new thing, which we're really excited about. So that's kind of the first category of sex tech. The second is entertainment, which is arguably the best and my favorite, where this is where we talk about virtual reality. This is where we talk about potential of AI. This is where we talk about the future of AR, you know, the all of these different kind of technologies with gaming. And this is where we get into pornography, the future of sex robots, if it's a thing, and all of that kind of thing. So anything that we're navigating with our sexuality and entertainment is really exciting. It's a very, very big market historically. So, and so that's awesome. And that's where I kind of entered in with the industry. And I can get into that later or whatever. But, you know, I was very fascinated by the labor rights, not fascinated, but passionate about the labor rights of those who are navigating the entertainment of sexuality and sex tech. And so that's where the intersection of sex work and sex tech comes into play when you're thinking about my work and the bigger picture of it. So then last but not least, we have kind of a catch-all here where it's like arts and culture and just general innovation around technology. Oftentimes within the sex tech industry, we have a lot of people who are truly pioneering the industry right now, right? So there tends to be a lot of just building things from the ground up around technology to make something happen that we need. So this can be a direct-to-consumer product. This can be a digital space. This can be certain particular types of fintech and all sorts of things. So that is what the sex tech industry is. And so I am the president of Women of Sex Tech, and Women of Sex Tech is an organization of women and marginalized genders pioneering the sex tech industry by bringing more professionals into the space and building community. So we are not unlike Silicon Valley or TechCrunch or hoping to be, where we are just bringing together the most marginalized in the space so that we can not only have more authority, but have more opportunity by providing each other community and resources, and just there's a lot of barriers to entering the industry, and we just want to lower those barriers so that we can all get a piece of that $1 trillion pie as women rightfully should have. So that's that.
So I love that. That was so much to unpack, and I have like a million questions. The first thing I want to ask you, I want to kind of get to the crux of the matter, or what I think might be the crux of the matter. Mm-hmm. You know, I was going to ask why women in marginalized barriers, and you touched on that. You know, these are folks who want to get a piece of this significant economic pie. Yeah. But let's talk a little bit about some of those barriers. Why is it difficult for people, women and people of marginalized genders to enter, to break into the market?
Great question. So to be clear, I think the future is a future that is inclusive, and that means absolutely everyone. The reason why Women of Sex Tech exists is to simply give space, right, extra attention, more resources to those who we know just have more barriers. And so some of those barriers, I wish I had all the statistics in my little brain right now, but I don't. But we know that women get less than 10% of VC funding. We know that in the industry, women are not represented. We know that women often don't have a seat at the table. And then we talk about women, and then we talk about marginalized genders. And this is all of our transgender community, our gender non-conforming, our non-binary, the whole lot and everything in between. Whoa, I mean, it's almost obsolete. It's very rare that we're seeing that in those rooms. And so when we talk about creating tech and innovating tech, and we see so little women actually in the room, it means that they are lacking resources. It means that they are lacking the support that they need to be able to enter this industry and be successful. And so this is why we wanted to create a space uniquely for the specific barriers that we face. You know, we are mothers, you know, we are business owners. We have so many different things that we're attempting to do that men just haven't had the same challenge. Now, this is what we need right now. And the future, like I said, is very inclusive and it does include men, but we have to understand the barriers that women face entering the tech world. Yeah.
Well, and that's I mean, I love that. One of the questions that I want to ask you, because I would imagine that when people think of sex tech and the predominant user, a lot of people might think of people of the male persuasion because they're, I mean, at least that's what I think. And mm-hmm. So I want to ask you, because I feel like the future of sex and sex tech has this huge opportunity to really, really, really help women, non-binary folks, you know, transgender women, like, experience sex more fully. And so I wonder, like, how can sex tech benefit women of people and people of marginalized genders?
Totally. You know, that's a great question. So, and I'm probably going to say that after every question, because I think a lot of questions are great questions. So if you're listening, yes, that is like a habit.
Hey, I like validation. So thank you for that.
Yeah, especially when I'm being interviewed. But so here's the thing. So there's sex tech and then there's also femtech. I don't know if you've heard of the concept of femtech, right?
Yeah.
And so if anyone's on TikTok, I'm obsessed with TikTok right now. And I made a really funny TikTok. And it's if anyone watches Family Guy who's listening, so the sound is the little baby boy. What's the boy's name? I forget his name. He's going, Lois just texted. She asked, what do we want for dinner? Meatballs or burgers? I'll text back for you. Same shit, different shapes, right? Femtech and sex tech are essentially the same thing, but women, femmes, right? Females. Yeah. Want their own sector of definition of tech. Why is this, right? Why do they need a separation from it? Because again, they want more focus on things that deeply impact women in the tech sector. Sex tech is truly everyone. Sex tech is everyone. Sex technology is everything. It's everything. Yeah. I think, you know, people, and this is why I mentioned earlier the, I'm sorry, I didn't explain the TikTok. Basically on the TikTok, I said, femtech and sex tech, right? It's the same meat, different shapes. It's the same thing. And if it's femtech, it's most likely sex tech. If it's sex tech, it's most likely femtech. And so when we talk about it, sex tech, it's actually everyone. And it's natural in the way that we've been socialized, in the way that we see sex, right, portrayed in technology, we automatically think, well, men run it, men do it. It's all about men. Men are in charge there, right? And there's we're not gonna get super into it why that's the case today, but let's just say we live, I'm gonna say it, y'all, in a patriarchal society. So therefore, when we talk about sex, we think, oh, men must have a lead in that. They must be in charge somehow, some way. They must benefit from it more than women do. We can absolutely talk about how technology is closing the orgasm gap. You know, we can talk about how women are coming more in bed because of vibrators. We can absolutely talk about that. But we can also talk about how people are having more children now due to the technology around IVF. We can also talk about how we have companies like VDOM who are coming up with prosthetic penises to go from flaccid to erect in a not only entertainment setting in a you know, that kind of setting, but also a health setting, a prosthetic, a literal prosthetic, right? So sex tech is far more reaching than just watching pornography, which we absolutely love. Yes, go, go, go. But there's more to sex tech than that. There's more to sex tech than having an orgasm, for example. It's a truly expansive industry. And so we see sex tech being the leaders in a lot of different concepts. For example, NFTs right now, huge concept. Everyone's non-refundable tokens. Let me tell you right now, the people who are going to be the guinea pigs for that are the people in the erotic and adult industry, because those are going to be the first innovations around NFTs, right? Serious innovations where we're actually using it socially for real, because sex leads innovation in the tech space. And so I think I'm kind of having a long-winded answer here, but I guess my point is this, is that while men have historically been in charge in technology places and also places like MindGeek, right, conglomerates like MindGeek, the future is truly an inclusive future when it comes to sex tech, because we see a lot of women innovating in this space, which is why women of sex tech exist, right? Yeah. And so it helps. The original question was, I'm getting off on a tangent here. The original question was, how does sex tech help women in marginalized genders? And the most clear ways that I've seen it is that because today, in our day and age, we have more women entering the tech sector, we have more women being invested in, we actually see technology that we want to see. Biggest example, Bumble. Bumble just went public, right? How much they had a $1 billion IPO. That is a literal proven concept that when you give women money, you give women access and the opportunities to create, they will create, and they will create something that blows up the market. And that just shows the true potential of what it means when women can create what they want to see. And that's just social, right? That's just a way of, oh, let women say something first. Oh, groundbreaking, $1 billion, right? So when we think about it that way, we're just going to see more and more innovations that create more social spaces and sexy spaces for women and non-binary and everything in between to exist.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely amazing. And I hope all of our listeners at home, like we are fully supportive of closing that orgasm gap and helping helping more people experience more joy and more connection and more good sexy times in bed, you know, or wherever you choose to do the deed. So I want to ask you a little bit about the stigma, because I think I've looked at like your Instagram and I've looked at some of your social media accounts, and one of the things that I really love about your work is your activism. You are not only, you know, you're not only operating within this world, but you are actually working actively to break down boundaries and barriers. And you really, it seems, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like you want to normalize conversation around these topics, around sex, around, you know, around gender, sexuality, fluidity. And I think that's super cool. But I want to, so the first question that I want to ask you down that little rabbit hole is there a stigma attached to what you do?
Oh, hell yeah. Well, we all know that. So
the foundational question, like you have to ask the foundational question, but then the follow-up question is, you know, how do you deal with that? What does that experience look like for you?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely didn't mean to be like, it was more like sarcastic, like, of course we know that. It was more sarcastic. because I guarantee you right now, you're going to get more clicks on this interview for the simple fact that it says sex in the title, regardless of what it's about, because people are going to be in this space, the Innovate Her Casey space, you know, the full scale space, the startup hustle space, and they're going to go, sex, whoa.
Yeah.
How can that be related? And some people may go, absolutely not, or ooh, that's interesting, right? The future is the people who are interested in it, not the people who are rejecting it. So, you know, I would say this, there's a lot of stigma around sex. And I love that you brought up the activism element of it, because I have a podcast as well. It's called The Thought Leader Pod, THOT Leader Pod, where we aim to destigmatize and demystify conversations around sex tech by interviewing people in the industry. And so we really have a very empathetic approach where we just give background to who this person is and why they're navigating what they're doing and what they need in this industry to be successful and what they hope to see for the future. I think that's really important for the sex tech industry to show how truly expansive it is. We have people from all sectors of life who touch the industry of sex tech. So I did an interview recently with Trist and Switter. And Trist is an advertising site for sex workers that's based out in Australia. And then they have a Switter that is a Twitter that is hosted on Mastodon. That's just kind of, it's awesome. It was a direct response to something that happened in the community, the sex work community. And they really stepped up and provided some much needed resources that was needed for social communication and also advertising. Now, I say all this to say that they faced so many boundaries just because of the fact that they were dealing with sex workers. And so when we talk about the sex tech industry, we have to, we cannot ignore the fact that sex workers are like at the very brunt of every single margin that the sex tech industry faces. And that's because of stigma as well. So yes, this is a labor rights issue. This is a feminist issue. This is a social issue. This is a human rights issue. It's all of those things. And because of that, it just has so much stigma to it because people feel so righteous about their sexuality and what others should be doing with it. And that's at the core of it all, right?
Yeah.
And so when we are trying to survive and when we are trying to just live our lives and have healthy working conditions, people have a lot to say about that. And so it's difficult to really innovate for me in the industry without fighting for the people who need that help. So I guess the best example I can give is to keep it clear. So there was, you cannot innovate the sex tech industry without being an activist for those who are the most marginalized in the industry, which are sex workers. Boom. That's the sentence. That's the statement. That's the headline. Okay.
You just can't
be in it. Like it's true because best example. So OnlyFans, right? OnlyFans came into the market. Ooh, wow. Also proving the concept that sex tech and sex is real. It's a real industry that you can actually enter and you can grow and you can make a shit ton of money from it, right? And so in 2018, there was a bill called FOSTA SESTA that was passed. This is American legislation that was passed. And basically it was a legislation to stop online sex trafficking. The way that the bill was worded and the way that the bill was implemented, it actually did not stop sex trafficking whatsoever or child sex trafficking whatsoever. But what it actually did was it amended Section 230 to basically say that if anyone is hosting sexuality content on their website, that they are then as a website personally held responsible for what's being said and they can be sued and their website can be taken down. Backpage was the first website to be taken down from FOSTA SESTA.
So okay. Backpage meaning the like classifieds where you can often find sex workers.
Yes. Okay. So this happened in 2018 and stay with me, y'all. I'm going to get it there. So this happened in 2018. So this is when I actually entered the sex tech industry because I became very aware of the discrimination against sex workers in digital spaces. And please understand that that's just how it starts. And then everyone else's is a ripple effect and everyone else is impacted. And sure. So FOSTA SESTA absolutely has had an impact on our current terms of service on most major social media platforms, including Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, et cetera. You cannot post nudity. Well, that's a given. That's always kind of been the case in America. You can't post nudity. You cannot post anything around sexuality, whether it's education, whether it's talking about tech, whether it's talking about anything. And so we see a complete ripple effect of the impact that sex workers have on our society in the technology realm, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
And so that is where I entered the industry because I'm thinking, how can we really grow as a culture and as an industry when we are still criminalizing people for simply existing? And the same thing that's happening in physical space is echoing in digital space. And so I really did care about this community and I stepped up and I just started being more vocal. When I was in rooms and people are talking about technology and people are talking about sex tech, I go, okay, well, what about the people who are doing the labor behind it? What are their rights? How are we going to sure that the people navigating this site have privacy and security, because that's important and that matters to me. And so it's difficult because there is a lot of stigma, but it's also just this fight is so much bigger than me that I just, it's okay, so what, you know, like, and yeah. It's funny because like I'm back in Missouri now, and this is really a wild conversation for Missourians. Like I definitely am like very cautious when I'm because you asked me like how I deal with it, you know, I'm very cautious whenever I introduce myself to people or introduce myself to and talk about these concepts. I definitely do not dive right into every single thing that I do because people can be very reactive when they yeah. hear about the labor rights of sex workers, or when they hear about anything around sex or technology being combined, it can be very affronting to people. So affronting, I don't know which word, but it can just be very shocking. And so I say, oh, they go, what do you do? I go, oh, I work in tech. And they go, oh, that's so cool. What kind of tech? I go, oh, I work, you know, and I work in sex tech. And then they go, oh, okay. And then I just kind of like feel
out. Is there kind of like that deer in the headlights moment where they look a little uncomfortable and they don't really know what to do or say?
Yeah. And I think it's just a combination of things. I think that people aren't used to, for one, Black people or Black women, they aren't used to those people being in the room with them. So when I step into certain places or I step into certain things, they're already kind of affronted by like, okay, this person, what's this person going to say? And then when I say sex, they go, oh, what's this person going to say? And they, it's just kind of like, they aren't, can't conceptualize me as a person who has these understandings of what's actually going on in the sex and tech, and people can just be very they can be amazing. People can be great. I love like, you are great. Like when we met, I was like, I feel very comfortable, this is very great. But it's really interesting being back in Missouri versus being back in New York, where people just have different views and you just have to be cautious for your safety, because sure. It's not always a safe conversation to have. And that's kind of like my own experience with being harassed online, my own experience with just kind of like people being very outwardly violent toward me. So that I just kind of have certain layers. That's like that was like a real pivot there, but I'm just.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I want to delve a little bit more deeply into it, but first I'm going to take a moment, and I do just want to acknowledge today's episode sponsor. Today's episode of Startup Hustle was sponsored by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. And they do amazing work. If you need to bolster your software team, you know, cheaply and effectively and efficiently, Fullscale's the way to do it. So I'm going to dive in here because there was a lot to unpack.
Like, what the hell?
And I think it's because you said a couple of things that really stuck out at me. And so one of the conversations that I have on a, I wouldn't say frequent, but I would say regular basis, is the fact that when we're talking about sex work, particularly as it pertains to feminism, the thing about sex work is it most often impacts the most vulnerable of us, you know, for a lot of people of marginalized genders, for a lot of people of, you know, people of color, you know, people who come from pretty tough socioeconomic circumstances. Like those are, statistically speaking, those people, you see them more often involved in sex work. Right. Because it is a way out, and it is a way up, and it is a way to survive. And so when I just want to kind of frame the conversation with that, like with the understanding that when we attack sex workers, not only are we attacking sex work as an industry, but we are also attacking people who are vulnerable and people who deserve protection. And so I think that that's like a really important part of the conversation. But so in your activism, mm-hmm. when you are serving as a representative, a voice, an advocate. You do this all very well, but I want to talk to you a little bit about how you do it. Like, talk to us tactically. You know, what are some of the things that you're working on, and what are some of the ways that you're trying to like increase that visibility?
Yeah, I think I was going to bring it back to that, like, why bringing the whole activism matters within having a startup, within being a founder, within growing a business, right? And what that visibility does and how it helps and how it doesn't help. And that's kind of like a little bit before our commercial, a little bit of a snippet of like how it doesn't help, as far as like sometimes mental health wise, it can be really difficult when people harass you or all those kind of things. But on the other side, you know, it's absolutely helped me become the president of my organization. The Women of Sex Tech was founded in 2015, and I kind of inherited this beautiful golden nest egg of an organization because I was so outspoken about the things I cared about, because I organized actions, I organized marches, because I showed up at the panels, because I showed up at the events, because I showed up in those, you know, Zoom meetings that only three people are in, but we're talking about how policy is going to change this technological aspect that's going to impact us all. You know, I think for me, it gave me the space to be able to really go for what I wanted. And right now I'm in the process. My Women of Sex Tech, we are a membership-based organization. So we have membership fees, and we do events, and we have a job board, and we have these different revenue streams. But one thing we're realizing is that people who were involved in sex tech really do care about the activism level of it. People really do care about the legislation and the governance and the censorship and all of these things. And so having me as the lead, they say, oh, okay, that person seems to know how to organize. That person seems to understand what scarcity mindset is. That person seems to be able to have not only the patience, but the perseverance to see this out. And so we're going to stand behind that. And so in a lot of ways, it's helped me. It's helped me break barriers and ways that I probably wouldn't have before if I would have went to, you know, a college. I didn't graduate from college. I did go to college. I studied abroad the whole nine, but I didn't get a degree. You know, this, what I've experienced from just being on the ground and caring about something. And this goes beyond just a Twitter post or a Instagram video or a really funny TikTok. This goes down to the level of like the being on the ground in this community. And that took me making sacrifices, moving to New York, you know, hustling, you know, that's the basis of my whole thought leader thing. You know, I had to hustle. And so when you mentioned earlier about sex workers and them being people who need to be protected because they are from marginalized identities, you're absolutely correct, because we do live in a capitalist society. And there's a lot of people who have some gap to make up because they can't survive under the structure we live under. And so you're absolutely right. That tend to be by POC people, that does tend to be people with lower socioeconomical status, the most vulnerable, right? So yeah, that was a really great question. So thank you for that.
So one of the things that I find so weird about the sex industry in general, but sex work in particular, is there is clearly a giant, giant market for it. It is billions of dollars go into the sex industry. But it's an industry that everybody like secretly wants to take advantage of and wants to buy into, whether that's, you know, buying porn or, you know, availing yourself of a sex worker, like whatever that looks like for you personally. People want a piece of the pie, but they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to admit to it. There is a lot of things happen behind closed doors. And so I think the work that you're doing is really important, because why? Like, I mean, if we all want to let our freak flag fly, if we all want to enjoy sex, talk about it openly, you know, find different ways and mechanisms to increase our orgasms and our sexual health and our sexual well-being, like these are all really, really great things.
Yeah.
Why are we not talking about it more openly? So the fact that you're starting these conversations, you're shining a light on these conversations where they happen. So I think the work that you do is absolutely crucial as we move forward as a society and we move away from this moralistic hesitation to honestly talk about sex.
Well, and that's what it really is. You know, I think, you know, and again, I failed to touch on the true expanse of the sex work industry, you know, because my intro to it was because of sex worker rights, but my passion does lie behind a lot of things, which, you know, we have this knee-jerk reaction. I talk about it in my podcast, and Cindy Gallup, the OG of sex tech, talks about it often, of this like knee-jerk reaction of like, oh, I want to invest, but I'm scared. I'm into it, but I'm scared of what everyone else is going to think. And so that's a huge problem. part of why people do have this activism thing in sex tech, because you are inevitably, you entering this industry means you're standing up for something that people have a very difficult knee-jerk, ooh, I don't know, reaction to. And so you have to kind of have a little bit of thick skin to get into it. And we want to make that, again, that barrier as low as possible. But it's true, no matter what element you're doing in the sex tech industry, there's some level of stigma attached. And that's why we believe it's important to have, you know, spaces for women and marginalized genders, right? So that we can talk about that and work through that and work on a more inclusive future. And I have like a I very much am like obsessed with the future of virtual humans. Like that's really the future of virtual humans and the cryptocurrency that's going to surround them. I'm like absolutely fascinated by, because we all live in this duality of physical and digital space. And like, when you think about it, it's kind of actually easier to think about it like in sexual terms, because like, for example, like digitally, we all kind of navigate our sexuality in a much different way than we do physically. So like whether it's you're on a dating app or whether you're watching something that you know, really like that you've paid to watch, or whether you're in a VR virtual reality with someone else, you're more open to explore parts of your sexuality we found and fantasy we have found than like necessarily your in your physical life. So and the money that surrounds both of those worlds, I'm absolutely fascinated by. But that's kind of, that was a little bit of a spiel too. But
yeah, well, no, I mean, this is by above all, this is a platform for you to talk about what you do. So totally here for it. You know, I'm gonna take it back for just a second, because I wanted to acknowledge something.
Okay.
But you know, one of the things that I find really, really interesting about this conversation is, so earlier you actually hit it on the head. I'm gonna give our listeners a for instance. So in 2020, the most listened to episode of the Startup Hustle podcast was with a woman named Kristen Thomas. She has a sexual wellness consulting company called Open the Doors Coaching. Everybody wanted to listen to that episode. So not only, like, people are very interested, they see sex in the title, they're like, click, 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 I want to watch that. But here's the thing. Not only are we personally and morally hesitant to talk about sex, but the thing that drives me crazy about poor Kristen is, so she does like these workshops where she talks about the clitoris. And she, you know, like instructing women on how to deepen their pleasure during sex using the clitoris, you know, working with partners of folks, you know, talking about that. Every single time she tries to post one of her events on Facebook or on social media, oh, that gets ripped down immediately. And she has to find all of these workarounds. And so she's not even talking about sex in a quote unquote vulgar, I hate that term, sense of the word. She's actually talking about sexual wellness, being in touch with your body, like all of these really beautiful things. And so not only is she dealing with that personal moralistic objection, but she's also dealing with very deeply embedded systemic issues to overcome. Like, these are systems that we have put in place. We're going to make it harder for you to do your job because you're tangentially or even directly talking about sex. And it's ridiculous. Like, it drives me crazy. So I wanted to kind of circle around and just mention that, because I'm going to ask our listeners to get real reflective on that. And you know, maybe your part of your journey, dear listeners, is to become an advocate for that. You know, it's not fair. It's not right.
Don't even get me started. Like, everyone listening today, they're like, if she says sex work one more time, but this is what I'm talking about. But this is what I'm talking about, because it doesn't just impact that sector of people. It impacts all of us. It impacts the person who's just a coach trying to teach women how to empower themselves by being able to masturbate. Can't even use it, right? Can't even use advertising platforms.
They can't find it. You know, her audience can't find her because
legislation that passed in 2018 to impact sex workers is impacting everybody in the sex industry. That's my point, right? It's a ripple effect. When you do not protect the smallest, this is what happens. And so that's why there is this background of activism I have, because I find it very important, because that's the only way to fight these things. You know, when I have meetings with Facebook and when I have meetings with Twitter, they say, this is what they say. They tell me, they go, yeah, we know. We don't want it to be this way. But the legislation, the way the law, the way the government has written this legislation, this is what we have to do. I'm not kidding. This is real, right? So like in the sex tech industry, there's just this duality of like you fighting the big guy and you fighting the other big guy. You're fighting big tech and the government at the same time, exactly, to these moral and ethical hangups around sex. And that's absolutely what we see. On TikTok, you can't even, on TikTok, they will take that shit down faster than you can even refresh it. They're so, if it's around sex education, sex health, any of that, because they claim that they have no way to tell if it's obscene or not, but that's just actually really not true. And so when you talked about vulgar or obscene or whatever, right, what we're referring to is, I don't really like to use those words because they kind of have a negative connotation.
Well, and they're so subjective as well. No, what is vulgar to one person is completely fine and normalized to someone else.
But I think we need like a new, and Cindy Gallup talks about this as well. And in the second episode of my podcast, we talk about this. We need a new definition of adult content. We do, because adult content is not actually what it is, right? So we need a new definition of what actual adults need to be seeing around sexuality and what everyone can be talking about around sexuality. And so, yeah, you're right. I should not be scrolling and seeing actual penetration or things of this nature, or, you know, no, I agree. But now you have someone who is just trying to create a business and trying to create more better in this world and can't, because of very restrictive terms of services that are held by big tech, held by these huge companies who dictate so much of how we socialize around sexuality. They dictate so much of how we create and what we do and how we share it. And we have to acknowledge that. And we have to acknowledge the fact that maybe it's actually okay, and that maybe we're being socialized to believe it's negative because of these terms of service on these big platforms like Facebook and TikTok.
Yeah. To bring it all home, you know, the question, I think the title episode today is how sex tech is changing the future.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, based on this conversation, like for me, the answer to that is we are democratizing access to sexual wellness, sexual empowerment. You know, we are looking to a future where everybody is fully actualized as a sexual being. It's a very huge part of the human experience. You know, we are acknowledging women and people of marginalized genders in this space. We are looking to a future where talking about sex isn't, you know, it doesn't have to happen in hushed whispers and behind closed doors. And so I think all of those are amazing things. And I'm about to ask you the human question.
Okay.
Actually, your human question is going to be a little bit different than others. Usually I do like the silly thing, but I really want to get your beat on this because I think it'll be super interesting. Okay. So I want to talk to you, like, what are some cool innovations that you're seeing in sex tech right now? Like, you've touched on some, but let's get a little specific. Talk to us about the cool shit that's happening.
So I brought it up earlier, but this VDOM, I'm kind of obsessed with VDOM right now. So VDOM is in the Kickstarter kind of startup phase where they're fundraising right now. And they are it's an underwear right now. It's a prototype. It's an underwear. And it is a literal prosthetic where they have a anatomically correct penis that goes from flaccid to erect. And I'm like kind of geeking out about it because, like, first of all, I don't know what y'all do, who's listening. I don't know what y'all do and don't do. But when you use the current strap-on technology, it's really just kind of bulky and just kind of like you have to go get it and then you come out and you already have this. I don't know how, I don't know what, where are you about to put this podcast? I don't want it to get blocked by what I have to say. But anyway, you come out and you already have like this erect penis and it's already like, let's go, let's put it in, let's do it. But it's like actually the process of sex is a little bit more natural. It's a little bit more like having this idea of like arousal being represented within the toys industry is really kind of exciting. And like, I don't think we have much out there that's like it. And this idea of just being like out for dinner And then you're like, okay, I want to go play right now. It's just like in your bag. You can just like pull it out. You don't have to have like a backpack or all of this equipment. So that sounds like really cool. And then there's also this dildo company I've been really into called Monsters Dildos, Monster Dragon Dildos. Oh God, let me go there real quick. Dragon. Oh God, I know the name of it, but Bad Dragon. Ha ha.
Bad dragon dildos. So what are bad dragon dildos?
They're actually like these incredibly, I normally have like little examples, but they're like these incredibly soft dildos that are like really awesome, but they're like anatomically not human. So they're like octopuses and dragons and like all kinds of things, which I really love because I feel like, you know, people always ask, I don't know how much time we have. I'm going to answer this real quick, but people always are like, the future of sex is sex robots. They're humanoid robots. And I'm like, no, why would you want to just go have sex with a human? I want to have sex with a dragon. I want to have sex with a, you know, I want to have six, you know, an 8-foot blooper from
Avatar. There's our caption. I want to have sex with a dragon.
You know what I mean? I'm like,
yeah,
that's
no, I feel you.
And so, yeah, those are like some really fun, cute things. But, you know, we also have some great, you know, reproductive assault reporting, awesome, cool things happening that way. But those are like funny entertainment things that I like.
Yeah. That is awesome. And I cannot thank you enough for taking the time to sit and talk with us today, to be so candid, to be, you know, thank you for the work that you do. This has been awesome. Essex. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And y'all have a good one. You can find me everywhere at Essex Noir, SXNOIR. And you can find my podcast, Thought Leader Pod, THOT Leader Pod, streaming everywhere. And yeah.
Awesome. Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, listeners, for taking the time to listen to us today. I hope you got a lot out of the conversation because I know I sure did. Also want to thank our episode sponsor. Today's episode of Startup Hustle was sponsored by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably, and also helping to power the Startup Hustle podcast. Be sure to check us out, the Startup Hustle TV, on our YouTube channel as well. And we will catch you next time.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time.